a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
And so our goal is to really make anything that we do and throughout this legislative session clear, concise, and consistent. And with that said, we have prepared for you as a legislative body a website in which we're going to be continually posting information for you throughout session where you can go to as a one-stop place. So when you walked in, you were given a handout, and you'll see that there's one of those, it looks like a bookmark. And if you look at that bookmark, on the back side, one side says our motto, which is learning, leadership, and service, and on the other side, it's our Department of Education website. And when you go to that website, if you look up here for a minute, you'll see that there is a link at the top that says the 2011 South Dakota Legislative Session. That link will be a place that every time we have a data request and any information, any presentations we do, we'll be posting that information. We know that you get a lot of handouts throughout session, a lot of things that you may have missed places you go through. We'll continue to compile information here, things that we've already know that are consistent requests that are made year after year have already been put on here. Today's presentation is here. And so please take a look at that. And that bookmark that you have takes you to the Department of Education website. But again, it's the little icon, the 2011 South Dakota Legislative Session. Again, with that, we've collaborated with the Bureau of Finance and Management to make sure that our message is clear. Jim Twilliger, our budget analyst, is here. See, Liza Sizer is here from BFM. Don't see Jason today, but we've gotten together. We've made sure that the presentation we're giving you is the same presentation that we would be presenting no matter which one of us is there. So it's a very basic, gives you the very basics of what the school funding formula and how that works. So we want to make sure that that is for any legislator who's new, for those of you experienced, and those who have been here for a long time. We were trying to get that consistency. And so today, Tammy Darnell, who is our Director of Finance and Management within the Department of Education, will be going through our Education Funding 101. One more thing, just one more plug, though. Tomorrow, Department of Education, we do have an open house. We are now located at the old State Library building, which is called the McKay Building, where the Department of Education and the State Library are housed together. We'd invite you to be part of that. And the reason we're so proud of our facility, number one, it's a really nice facility. But secondly, we are a green building. We're LEED certified. There will be a presentation at 4 o'clock explaining our LEED certification. And we would really like to invite you all to come tomorrow afternoon between 3:30 and 5. The presentation is at 4 p.m. So did want to put that little plug in. You should have received a letter from me as a special invitation for that as well. As we go through this afternoon, if you have questions, we would take questions as we're going. So you do not need to hold those till the end. So we would welcome your questions along the way. Again, we have BFM here to help us out if we have any questions that they can expound upon as well. So thank you. And Tammy.
Good afternoon. Thank you. As Melody said, my name is Tammy Darnell. I'm the Director of Finance for the Department of Education. Really a quick kind of how this is laid out. I'm going to start discussing the school district's general fund, which is largely funded by the state aid funding formula. And so I'll go into a high-level overview of how the state aid funding formula works. I'll discuss a little bit some of the other revenues that go into the school district general fund, as well as talking about some of the other funds that the districts have, such as special education, capital outlay, and then the pension. And then we'll end it with a few slides about the Technical Institute funding formula if anybody is interested in that. And like Melody said, please feel free to just raise your hand or stop me as you have questions going along. I think that'll be the easiest way. Okay, first of all, kind of an overview. And as I said, this is the school district's general fund. This is their general operations. There's really three sources of funding that go into that fund. There's state funding, which I said is largely state aid. However, there are a few other revenues that go into that, and I'll show those on the next slide. There's local and county funding that go into that. A lot of that is the property taxes. And then there are federal funds that go into that fund. Most of those federal funds are of restricted uses, such as your Title I funding, your title funds. However, this also does include the state fiscal stabilization funds, because those did come from the federal government, so that is where those would show in the school district revenues. Okay, focus more here on the state sources. Like I said, there's the state aid to general education, and we'll be talking about that in a minute. There's the bank franchise tax. That has been decreasing over the past few years due to the economy. There's state apportionment. The wind farm tax, that's a new tax. It's a very small revenue right now, but I just thought I'd throw that in there since it's fairly new. And then just other state revenues that make up a very small portion of that. Okay, the general state aid. The formula that we currently have took effect on January 1, 1997. The most recent update happened last session, and this brought us to using the greater of the current year fall enrollment or the average of the two prior years' fall enrollment for figuring out the number of students that the school districts will be paid on. Into the general funding formula, as I said, it's made up of money raised locally through property taxes and then money raised to the state through state aid taxes. It's just basically our state revenues. So far, you guys are an easy crowd. Okay, like I said, the funding formula, we start with the same amount of funding per student. So every kid in South Dakota is funded at the same level. This is called the per student allocation. Currently in fiscal year 2011, we're at 480460. I want you to remember the formula funds students, not districts. Again, it's based on the number of kids that are out there, not the number of districts that are out there. Additional funds or additional pieces to the funding formula, we have the small school adjustment, and then we have the decreasing enrollment, which, like I told you, is that two-year averaging. Also, outside of the funding formula but still paid out as state aid, we have the sparsity formula, and then the consolidation incentives, which, as many of you know, those, that has been sunsetted, and those will be paid out here in a couple more years. There's no new school districts coming on. We're just paying out those districts that had already consolidated. Okay, the per student allocation. The per student allocation is adjusted annually by the same rate as inflation or 3%, whichever is less. That's what's stated in statute. The inflation measure is measured by the consumer price index, and we look at that as the change annually year over year, and we have to look back at the last completed year. So if you look at the per student allocation times the fall enrollment, that gives you the base amount that can be raised through local property taxes and state aid. So that gives you the total need for the funding formula. All right. This chart just shows a history of the per student allocation increases. If you look at the bottom line, the redder line, that is what the per student allocation would be starting as a baseline of fiscal year 2003 if we had just increased it by CPI. However, each year, you folks have the opportunity to come in and to make adjustments as you see fit. And so the top line shows what has actually happened. Okay, the small school adjustment. The formula, when they put it in place, there's a recognition that the smaller districts incur higher costs. It's the economy of scale. You need a superintendent. You need a business manager. You need certain people. And if you only have 150 kids to spread that out, cost out across versus 1,000 kids, you know, you're going to need a little bit more money per student. Starting back in, I believe it was 2007, a change was made to the small school adjustment formula, and it's a fixed dollar amount per student based on a sliding scale. Previously, it was a percentage of whatever the current per student allocation is. And then, like I said, it's a sliding scale. So the larger the district is, up to 600, the lower amount that you get for the small school adjustment. And again, this slide, I have a slide coming up that demonstrates that, but 0 to 200 students, the per student allocation is $847.54. From 201 to 600 students, it's anywhere between 0 and the $847.54, again, on a sliding scale. And then if a district is over 600 students, there's no small school adjustment. It's just a straight per student allocation. And here is the chart I was talking about. Doing good? Okay. With the small school adjustment, some of you may be curious, we have 111 districts that do receive some sort of a small school adjustment. 30 districts are below 200, and they receive the maximum $847.54. Okay, decreasing enrollment, two-year averaging, different names out there, it's all the same. This allows the school districts to use either the two-year average of the prior 2 years or the current year count of students, whichever is greater, and it softens the blows to districts that have declining enrollments. So you really only lose half of what your decrease was. Okay, and the other thing I have to note to point out, this is not just a small school benefit. This helps all districts. You might have a larger district that's seeing a decline in a certain year, so it's a benefit to all districts, not just small schools. Okay, like I kind of alluded to earlier, there's three steps in calculating the funding formula. You determine the local need, which is the per student allocation times the fall enrollment. You determine the local effort, that's the property valuations and levies. And then we determine the state share, which is the total need, the local need, less the local effort, the property taxes. Yes? Not for state aid, no, it doesn't. Those are revenues that the school districts receive outside of the funding formula.
Okay. And the bank franchise, the local portion of the bank franchise tax
is correct. All right. Anybody else? Okay. A little more detail on determining local need. Like I said, you begin with the previous year's per student allocation. And then you figure the inflationary increase to the per student allocation. Statute states CPI or 3%, whichever is less. However, this can be adjusted by you folks when you come to town by the legislature. And then we determine the fall enrollment. We take account with the school districts as of the number of students the last Friday in September. We reduce that by the number of students for whom the district might receive tuition from another source, wherever they come from. And then we add in any students for that aren't attending in that district, but the district pays tuition for them. Okay. Yes? Correct. It could be our home if... I have to think for a second. I'm sorry, because we have the different... If a student is a resident and they're attending our home and they're paying out tuition, is that what you're asking? That they get to count those? Even though they're not serving them in that district, they have to pay tuition to, for them to go to our home, so they would be counted in their resident district. Okay. Anybody else? And I apologize, there's pillars right here, so if I miss some of you. Absolutely.
Can individual school districts decide whether they'll spend more than the $4,800 or less than the $4,800 or the $4,800
to buy? For state aid, for the state aid funding formula, we base the formula on the 4804. Now, if a school district has other revenue sources, bank franchise tax, county apportionment, state apportionment, and stuff like that, they can also spend that. That's over and above the 4804. Is that? That's a local decision. Again, this is just how the way that we calculate how much money the state is sending to the school districts. It's up to the school district to decide their budget. Okay? Somebody?
A couple of weeks ago, there was an article in the Aberdeen American News that the Aberdeen School District was the second most efficient school district in the state. Who determines that, and what criteria is used to determine that?
You know, I really don't know. I didn't see that article. I can't tell you the source. But if you do go out to our website, to our statistical digest, and there's a link to that at the bottom of that webpage that Melody was just talking about, we do have... a calculation there where we figure the actual general fund expenditures per student by school district. And I couldn't even tell you who's ranked where on that. If Aberdeen, maybe that's where they got it. Maybe they have the lowest expenditure per student. That's the only thing I know of that we do that could possibly.
The state of South Dakota doesn't rate the efficiency
of
the school district.
No, we don't. Go ahead.
The local school districts, they have to maintain their effort from all revenue sources in order to receive their federal funds, such as title funds, exactly.
For title funds, you're right. They have to maintain their effort on either an aggregate basis or a per student basis at 90% of the prior years. And then impact aid, their average expenditure per pupil has to be at or above the statewide average expenditure per pupil.
Would go down 10%. drop down below 10% for the prior year, they could lose their title funding and other federal sources of revenue.
Title funding, possibly. Again, Impact Aid, it looks like it compares that district to all of the districts across the state. And with the title funding, the districts do have the opportunity then to apply for a waiver from the federal government.
Can you want to explain Impact Aid and title funding? What Impact Aid is?
Okay. Impact Aid is revenue that the federal government pays out directly to school districts that have a lot of federal land in their district, so they're not able to generate that local revenue through ad valorem taxes. So the federal government pays out that impact aid, and then we also have, I can't remember the exact number, I want to say 9 districts within South Dakota that are highly impacted districts because they have a very, very large portion of federal land. Title I funding is part of the Elementary and Secondary Education Act, maybe you know it as No Child Left Behind. And it's just funding paid out to school districts to serve the lower end, the lower performing students. And it's federal dollars. Any? Yes?
The student that moves into the district, say, in Christmas, how does that fit into our state formula? Isn't this a September count?
Right. Right now, the way the formula is written, it is a September count. So if you have a child that moves in after that last Friday in September, the school district does not necessarily receive more funding for them. However, if you have a student that moves out, you don't get funding decreased for that. And so, you know, the theory is that basically averages itself out. The next year, they would be in the fall enrollment count. Okay. Then I guess he doesn't get counted. Okay. Anybody else? Okay. Okay, again, calculating local need, the per student allocation times the state aid fall enrollment equals the local need. Just to kind of break this down, give you some examples. If you're a large district over 600, you get that basic 480460, the basic per student allocation, times your number of students. In our example, we say 600 students, so you get $2.9 million total. That would be your total need. A mid-sized district, one that's between 200 and 400, you get the basic per student allocation plus whatever your small school adjustment works out to be on that sliding scale times your number of students. And then a small district, one that's 200 or less, gets the basic 4804 plus that maximum small school adjustment of 847.54 times their number of students. And again, that's their total need. Okay. Okay, and then we get into the local effort piece of that. Property valuations times the levy that's set equals the local effort. And the levies are set annually by the legislature. You'll have an annual levies bill that we usually see come forward, and typically when it comes forward, it will reduce the levies by a penny, and then we'll work through the funding formula at the end it's finalized. Something for you folks to be aware of, property taxes are paid on a calendar year basis. However, our school fiscal year and our state fiscal year are based on a fiscal year basis, July through June. So when we're calculating the property taxes, we take one half of the current calendar year and one half of the next calendar year, and that determines the total property valuations for the formula. Okay, here's kind of an example. Like I said, you have the total need. You look at how much local effort the district can raise, and then state aid fills in the gap. So here we have 3 different districts. We have Lead-Deadwood is the first one. They actually generate, if at the levies that are set by law, more local effort than the 480460. Next we have Grant Dual. They're about 50-50. They get about 50% of their revenues from local effort, about 50% from state aid. And then finally, we have Faith School District. They're local effort, they're only able to generate about 16%, and so the state fills up the glass with the rest of that. Okay. One thing I want to point out, you know, this example is for state aid, but you have to remember this isn't just affects state aid. This ability to raise funds also affects their pension and their capital outlay funds as well.
Oh.
It is theirs to spend. They could, I have to think how the statute is set. I don't believe they can reduce taxes, although I have to think, wait, Jim, do you know, can they reduce the levy below that?
They set.
Okay, so the levy is the maximum they can set. You're right. Now it's coming back to me. The levy is the maximum they can set. So if they determine that they can set it below that and still get by, they can. However, if they're not at that maximum levy, they can't receive state aid funding, so they would kind of be taking a risk if the valuations came in lower. Okay. Yes, sir?
You know, just a comment, because it's a real trying time to do this instead of just for your information. The example you have was FAPE. When we equalize education, we equalize it so all students get the same amount of general fund dollars, but we did nothing for capital outlay, and that's why FAPE if they're going to school in trailer houses right now, because they don't have the ability to raise enough money to capital outlay to provide for a building project.
Thank you for that comment. That's like I said, it doesn't just affect the state aid, it affects your pension fund and your capital outlay fund, the ability to raise revenues for those items. Anybody else? All right. Okay, so now we have the total need. Now we have the local share. So what's the state share? It's the local need minus local effort. So if you have $2.2 million in local need, your local effort can raise just over $1 million. Your state share, the state dollars you get is $1.2 million. Kind of goes back to the slide that we just discussed. Here it is laid out in formula. Okay. All right. Cutler Gabriel. What this statute does, and I apologize, I should have written down the actual statute, but I can't remember it offhand, but basically seeks to ensure that the portion of local effort and state aid remains constant, basically making sure the state is accountable and that we pick up our share of state aid. The goal for state aid is we try to go for 56.5%, and we have to look forward to the next year out. So when we set levies, we're estimating them for 2 years out to try to, in the next fiscal year, shoot for 56.5%. Questions on that? Okay. All right. That pretty much is the general state aid funding formula. Before I move on to sparsity, does anybody have any other state aid to general education funding formula or funding questions? All right. Okay.
Can someone give a number of what the total overweight fees and the fines, what the total dollars are that are distributed to school districts?
Overweight fines and fees. That one would be, well, I'll tell you what, if you go out to that website that I told you about earlier, we have it listed. First of all, if you click on the statistical digest, you can see all revenues for all school districts as an aggregate. And then there's also another sheet that will say FY10, other fund revenues, I think is what it's called. It'll be on that documents page, and that will break it out by school district, all those other revenues.
Will it give a total?
Yes, it will give a total. All right.
All of these are going to be on 9-2, right?
Absolutely. All right. Anybody else? Okay, sparsity. As I stated, this is funding that's outside of our general state aid formula. It recognizes the unique challenges of rural and isolated school districts. Districts that are eligible that meet all the criteria for sparsity are eligible to receive up to an additional $123,750. Again, it's based on their number of kids that they actually have in the district, and it's maxed at $123,750. For fiscal year 2011, we have 22 school districts that are receiving sparsity dollars. Okay, yes?
Is that the same numbers that when we originally passed the bill, or is there some
There have been a couple more that have come on, but I think we've had like a couple that have dropped off because of reorgs. I could go back and look. I don't know right offhand. But I know it's been right in that range.
We can get that, though, what schools are in.
Absolutely. If you go out to, it's not on that website that Melody just showed you, but if you go to our homepage, and it's the link that says data, finance, and management or something like that, and then drop down and there'll be a state aid link. If you click on that state aid link, you can go back and you can see state aid back to, I think it's like 2004, 2005. And there'll, when Sparsity started, we have a link that goes to the Sparsity for each district, or for the Sparsity calculation. Okay? All right. Okay, other revenues that... can go into the general fund or just other revenues that are outside the funding form. Like I said, these are outside the funding formula. Not every district receives them. Examples are the federal grants, which typically, again, are restricted in the way that they can be used. There's opt-outs. School district can choose to opt out and generate more property tax. There's the gross receipts tax, the bank franchise tax, and there's fines and other investment income. And again, those are listed all out on that spreadsheet that I just told you guys about. You can either see the overall one in the statistical digest or by school district on that FY10 other revenues. Okay, so now to step away from the school district general fund, we have some other dedicated funds. We have the special education fund, and that is mostly made up of state aid to special education and then the IDEA Part B, the special education dollars from the feds. We also have the capital outlay fund. On the capital outlay fund, that's pretty much limited to acquisition of land, maintenance repair for existing facilities, construction of facilities, remodeling, purchases of lease equipment. It can be used for installment or lease purchase payment, transportation costs not to exceed 15%, purchases of textbooks and warranties on capital assets. That's in the regular statute. However, a couple years ago, during the 2009 session, Senate Bill 91 was passed that expanded the uses for that fund, so they can also use it to, for the purchase of property insurance and casualty insurance, payment for energy costs and the cost of utilities, and motor fuel for any portion of a contract providing transportation. And these total amounts cannot exceed 45% of the total revenues. Again, that expansion of uses of temporary uses will end on, or run out in June of 2012 under the existing statute. And then we also have the pension fund. What? Go ahead.
Could you explain money can be shifted back and forth between the different capital outlay and general fund?
No, it really can't. The only exception that we really have is that 50% rule that you folks passed last year for the special education fund, where it allows if you have an increase in special education federal dollars, you can transfer out up to 50% of your local dollars from special ed into another fund. However, that is pretty much a one-time opportunity because we are never going to get an increase like that in special education dollars. Otherwise, these are very dedicated revenues or dedicated funding sources. Yes?
That capital outlay money is all local money.
Yes, it is. Anybody else? Okay, here's just kind of a general overall breakdown of school district all funds. Like I said, this is the general fund, the capital outlay fund, special education, the pension fund, and it also includes the impact aid dollars. The impact aid dollars, really the districts have a lot of flexibility with those dollars. They can use them for about anything they want. They just transfer it into the fund that they need to use it in. This does not include bond redemption and capital projects funds because those are basically debt issue funds that are very dedicated to pay off capital outlay certificates, to pay off bonds that you have for buildings and stuff like that. Okay. Any questions on K-12 funding at all before I step into the technical institutes?
Yep.
We're dealing, we have pretty in front of us, the only budget we have in front of us is the one that Governor Rounds gave us.
Mm-hmm.
So when he talked about a 5% cut, was that in the amount per student for $4,000 plus, or was that the amount in state? The 5% would come off the 56.5. Which place was that going from?
The per student allocation.
What?
Yeah, the per student allocation, the amount per student. Okay.
Tammy, one question on the total number of school districts in the state. What percentage of those districts had maxed out their mill levy requests on capital outlay?
Good question, and I will have to look that up for you. If it's not already on that website that I pointed to you to, I will make sure that we put it out there, because I do know we have a spreadsheet that shows all the school districts and what they're levying for capital outlay. And if it's not there, I will get it out.
Thank you.
It's not there? Okay. I will get that out. Mary, are you taking notes? All right. Anybody else? Yes?
One thing on this, and a lot of you, just for information, impact to aid is on a sliding scale. There is schools who are impact aid get a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
And then there is schools who just get a meager amount of money. It's not a cut and dried amount per student, so to speak, like state aid. In other words, for instance, Shannon County gets the maximum. Bennett County gets the minimum. And it's a lot different per student when you're at the maximum and you're at the minimum. So a lot of misinterpretations of impact aid, how much it does for that school.
Okay.
Yes.
Let's go back to that last question to see if I've really got it right. If a school district is spending $4,000, just making the number, per student now, and the state amount goes down and they want to keep spending it, their only way to do that is increase local assessments. Is that correct?
Well, again, it depends on how much other revenue they bring in, too. So, I mean, the districts will know what their amount of revenue projected is, and they'll have to adjust their budget accordingly. Okay. Anybody else? Are we ready for technical institutes?
Wouldn't that be impacted then by the limit, the parking tax limit of 3% for the cost of living, whichever is less?
I'm sorry. Could you please rephrase your question?
The question that Representative Valentine asked, in generating local dollars, is it not true that the local school districts are affected by limit as to what they can generate in revenue?
Well, again, the local property taxes are based on what we set for the levies in the per student allocation or in the state funding formula. Districts can choose to opt out of that. Am I getting your question right, or am I missing something?
They can opt out, but if they haven't opted out and they reach the maximum of what their budget was annually from the year before, don't they limit themselves?
Well, again, they can only, do you understand what I'm saying? Because they can only levy all districts that receive state aid dollars are levying at the max. Okay. So I guess I'm still not sure where your question is going. I apologize.
Well, that's okay. I'll do some other checking.
Okay. Do you understand it better, Jim, or?
Not sure.
Okay. Yeah, let me talk sidebar afterwards, and we'll see if we can get it figured out. All right. Anybody else? Okay. Technical institute funding. For those of you that are new or may not know, I'm sure most of you do, but we do have 4 technical institutes around the state, Watertown, Sioux Falls, Mitchell, and Rapid City. They do receive, we have a state funding formula for those technical institutes. For state funding, we have a bonding volume cap that's set by the legislature for the amount that they can bond. And then in the state funding, we have a bonding set aside that the state uses to help pay off those bonds. This bonding set aside is the amount set by the State Board of Education. It's in our administrative rules as well, right, Mark? Okay, which is approved by the Board of Education. And then we also have the distribution formula. And this distribution formula, again, is set up by the State Board of Education, and it's found in administrative rule. So the state funds, they have the bonding cap that pays, or the bonding set aside to help pay off the bonds, and then our distribution funding formula that we do for them, and that is all state general funds. And then in addition, the technical institutes have tuition and fees that they raise locally. The tuition rate is set annually by the State Board of Education. State fees are set by the State Board of Education, and I believe in the next slide I'll get into that a little bit more, but the state, nope, I don't. I apologize. We have state fees that include the M&R fee, the technology fee. Those are set by the State Board of Education. And then the local technical institute can also set a program fee for specific programs. And then also the technical institutes do have the ability to apply for federal grants and federal funding that they can use. The distribution of the funds that are at the state level, first of all, the legislature will make an appropriation for funding for the technical institutes. From that total appropriation, we will take out the set-asides, which is the bond payment, and so that gives us the amount of funding for the distribution formula. The budget for this is based on an estimated number of full-time equivalent students plus the bonding set-aside. So for the budget, we estimate it based on that. And then when we pay out, we also pay out, well, 25% is on a baseline distribution that's distributed equally amongst the institutions. So we take 25% of the total appropriation and one-fourth among all the technical institutes. And then the remaining 75% we distribute based on the program categories. We have a high-cost, low-density program with a weighted factor of 5, high-cost programs with a weighted factor of 3, and standard-cost programs with a weighted factor of 1. And this is based on then the number of students that are in those programs. I know it's a little bit complex. It takes looking at the spreadsheet to understand it a little bit better. This is a very high level, but do you have any questions on it or anything I can answer, or I might defer to Mark on that? Go ahead.
Roughly how much support do students in the state provide?
To each student? Right now we're at about 3,300. Yes, sorry.
Where's the actual money that they don't generate? They don't generate enough to operate that school with their own on their own. So what is the state put in here? Where does that come from?
State general funds. There's a general fund appropriation within the Department of Education. It's a little bit over $20 million right now. I think it's 21 something. And so it's state tax dollars that we distribute based on the formula.
So if as Governor Round said, he's going to cut that by 5%, is he going to cut that by 5% too?
In Governor Rounds' budget, he did show a cut of 5% to that. Anybody else? Yes?
In the state aid formula for public schools, we had a ratio of approximately 56.5 in the public neighborhood of state aid versus local. Is there what approximately the percentage that the state is distributing to the Botex versus what they can raise locally through tuition?
Mark, do you know offhand? Okay. That's not something that we track or even look at.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Curious.
Okay. Anybody else? Okay. Well, that's all that I have. Melody,
can I ask you, there are a couple things that we have for you. So make sure that this you should read, it's really helpful. Take a look at that. You know, it really gives succinctly, I think, a good way to really try to get this information. And I like the way this is done, so take a look at that. The information you saw today is posted on the website. And again, we just told you that you go to the POE.sc.gov, which is on Google Worldwide, which is that would be helpful. Go take a look at that. Any information that's out there, anything else, request, we will continue to post that information. on that website, so we'll make sure that we continue to update that as time goes on. And then just any little facts, like sometimes you want to know how many districts you get in our state, there's this little staff address kind of thing. We have this program for your pocket, so if you're asking about that, then we have that as well. So again, thank you for coming. If you have any questions, we'll be sticking around here, so feel free to come to this one.